This is Take Care, a health and wellness show produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Catherine Loper.
And I'm Jason Smith. How can we be sure growing kids have the nutrition that they need? Our next guest will guide us through the nutritional needs of babies, children, and even teenagers. Dr. Brian Lynch is an assistant professor of pediatrics at the Mayo Clinic with a focus on the prevention of childhood obesity. Dr. Lynch, welcome to Take Care.
Thank you, Jason.
Well, I suppose we should start at the beginning here and talk about nutrition when a child is first born. There's a lot of talk about the benefits of breastfeeding versus formula feeding. Is there a big difference between the two when it comes to a child's growth and development?
Yes, there certainly is. We as pediatricians recommend exclusive breastfeeding the first 12 months of life, as recommended by the American Academy of Pediatrics. There is very strong evidence that breastfeeding instead of formula feeding can help prevent obesity.
And why is that?
Well, it's probably multiple reasons. One is, especially if fed by breast, it helps limit the amount of volumes of feeds that infants will take. While with a bottle, that's more difficult. But even for infants who are fed breast milk by bottle, their obesity risk is also less. And it just has to do with probably the components of breast milk. There's a lot of theories on why that may be, including potentially changes of the microbiome within the intestine, which may then impact that child's future risk for obesity and other chronic diseases. And in addition to breastfeeding, we recommend limiting the initiation of solid foods to at least 4 months of age, but preferably 6 months of age, as well as really teaching parents to limit comfort feeding. You know, trying to address an infant's needs, not by necessarily going to feeding, but make sure that there aren't other needs like changing a diaper or holding or consoling them before going to feeding.
And now as kids get older, I mean, all parents know of the growth spurts that kids go through. Are there specific times in a child's life when these growth spurts tend to occur?
Yes, it's fairly predictable in most children when they will grow. The biggest growth spurt of your life is your first 6 months of life. So that's obviously can be impacted by feeding practices during that time period. Puberty is a time, again, where we have accelerated growth. And puberty typically happens in girls slightly earlier than boys. For example, the peak velocity of puberty for girls is about age 11 and a half, where it is for boys about 13 and a half. So during those time periods, we do expect accelerated height growth and weight growth.
So when kids are younger, we know how important nutrition is, not only for a child's health, but you also want to set up healthy eating habits as kids get older. I'm sort of going through this process now. I have a 2-year-old at home, and right now she kind of only wants to eat chicken nuggets and popsicles, but we're still giving her things, you know, like beans and carrots and broccoli during dinner time. Do you have any tips on ways parents can try to encourage healthy eating as kids get into that 2 to 5 age range?
Yeah, certainly. One thing is you want to model good eating habits, because even at age 2 to 5, that toddler or preschooler is really watching you to what you eat. And another thing that some parents don't realize is you got to keep introducing healthy foods. You sometimes have to introduce healthy foods 20 or more times before they really develop a strong interest in pursuing that food. And when we're talking about healthy foods, we're talking about natural foods, whole grain foods, fruits and vegetables. We really like to try to avoid the sugar-sweetened beverages and the processed foods. And for some examples, for protein, we're talking about things like seafood, lean meats, poultry, eggs and beans, like you're doing with your 2-year-old, unsalted nuts and seeds, especially for older kids. When we're talking about fruits and vegetables, it can be canned, it can be frozen, it can be fresh, they can be dried. Sometimes canned and frozen fruits and vegetables are more affordable and more available, and those are great options for parents. In terms of the grains, really look at whole grains, things like whole wheat bread, oatmeal, really trying to limit those refined grains like the white breads, the pastas, and the white rice. In dairy, we recommend low-fat dairy products. So those are some things that you want to show to your children. And in addition to the type of food you introduce, it's really important to have family meal times. Make meals fun. When I'm in my pediatric clinic, we don't emphasize calorie counting. We don't emphasize restricting of foods. We talk about developing healthy long-term habits, making meal times fun, and being supportive of that toddler or preschooler. And this toddler preschooler time is a key time for their long-term risks of obesity. We know that from multiple studies over the last 2 decades. And there was a recent study in the New England Journal of Medicine that shows if you're 3 years old and you're obese, you have a 90% chance of being obese as an adolescent, and then most likely an adult. So this is a key time that we need to be intervening with healthy eating habits to prevent obesity.
You just kind of touched on this a little bit, but when you do see children and teenagers who may be overweight or obese, and maybe they're eating a lot of junk food, they're not eating very healthy food, what advice do you have for parents or for these kids to sort of try to get them back on track to a more healthy eating lifestyle?
Well, one important thing I emphasize is you can't make any child at any age eat any food that you want to. You set up an environment that can be successful. If you're having any teenagers that's struggling, you have to get their buy-in. If they're not interested in trying to eat healthy foods, it's going to be very hard to change the habits. Two, they need to really think about changing their environment. If there's snack foods at home, then people tend to gravitate toward those. So the best thing is try to remove them from the house, and then everyone in the house doesn't have access to those. In addition, trying to eat family meals, trying to eat at home, trying to avoid the fast food and processed foods that typically come from that are definitely interventions that can be effective for those teenagers. But they take time, they take effort, they take planning, and it can be challenging for any family to do that.
When we talk about growth and development in children, I wonder, is there a difference in the foods that young kids, toddlers, are eating as opposed to teenagers in terms of helping them grow and helping them develop? You know, we talk about milk and calcium for young kids. Should older kids, teenagers, also be eating the same kinds of things for their growth and development?
Yes, very similar diets for both. The big difference between younger children and older children is the total calories recommended each day changes, but the type of foods don't. So the portion sizes changes, you know, smaller tummies, smaller portions. So you need to think about that when feeding, but we still recommend the same core food groups we talked about: the protein, the fruits and vegetables, the grains, the low-fat dairy, and limiting the processed foods, especially the saturated and trans fats, and the sugar, sweetened beverages, and added sugar. That message doesn't change from the time kids are toddlers all the way up to late in their teenage years.
We hear a lot about the importance of nutrition for infants and toddlers, but is the same amount of attention paid to nutrition for teenagers? Because the teenage years seem to also be so important for growth and nutrition, because most teenagers go through such a big growth spurt in that time too.
Well, we need to spend more time on all these age groups. We're certainly not winning the war against childhood obesity right now. We still have increasing rates overall, even with all the type of interventions we know are going on, both from a public health and individual health perspective. So I think we need to work in all age groups, including adolescents, to improve. And I think a lot of this has to come from a public health perspective. And just like we learned from tobacco smoke, some of the most effective ways to improve diets aren't based upon individual choices, but they're based on systemic changes. And some examples of that I know you're doing in New York: the taxes on sugar sweetened beverages can be effective. Limiting the advertisements of unhealthy foods with marketing. These are the type of interventions from a public health perspective that can help our teenagers.
What are some of the consequences of not starting these healthy eating habits when kids are young? We know obesity is one, but are there other developmental effects as well?
Well, certainly obesity can lead to many health concerns down the road. The most notable is heart disease, including strokes and heart attacks. But obesity brings other comorbidities with it also: sleep problems, joint concerns. Almost every organ system in the body can be affected. And just to give you an example, when I was in medical school in the 1990s, type 2 diabetes wasn't part of our pediatric curriculum. That was considered an adult disease. Now we see it even in adolescents, and the prevalence is growing. So I think this is what's really scary, is the obesity can then lead to downstream health concerns, both physical health and mental health. We certainly know that anxiety and depression rates are higher in children with obesity also.
We focus so much on eating as a way to maintain healthy growth and development, but how important is sleep in this process too?
Oh, sleep's tremendously important and underemphasized in our society. We stress strongly sleep at our clinic visits at Mayo Clinic, and the importance of getting at least 9 hours of sleep, and even more for the younger age groups. Sleep itself has been shown to be a protective factor for preventing obesity, but it also helps in so many other areas in terms of mood, academic performance. So we really need to emphasize improving sleep habits and patterns and getting adequate sleep in our childhood populations. And one big thing to do that is to help eliminate these screens, especially in children's bedrooms, and limiting the time they get to bed to later times that then impact the amount of sleep they can get each night.
Well, Dr. Lynch, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, you're welcome.